This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Moodyus Dental. For over 30 years, they've been using the latest dental technology to give their patients the smile they've always wanted. Start the year right, like I did, by calling 305-821-0231 or visit moodyusdental.com.
And so the Carolina Panthers, so far, they went and signed Teddy Bridgewater, and now they signed P.J. Walker. They have Will Greer in there. He looked terrible as a rookie. I wasn't necessarily a Greer guy. Chris Greer, yes, not Will Greer. But Will Greer was a guy that I wasn't really a big fan of, but they drafted him. Not this group here, okay, because it's not Matt Rhule's guy, but they did draft him in the third round. And so it shows you that they're willing to go into different areas to try to find that guy. And you got to keep digging, man. And if I'm the Carolina Panthers and I fail with Bridgewater and Walker, which is likely, keep trying, man. Keep finding the guy. That's what I love about the Dolphins now, this new regime. You made the trade for Rosen. It doesn't work? Great. Go draft another guy. And they're going to do that this year. And if you fail, keep going. Eventually you'll hit on it. Let me explain something to you guys. How about this? Look at Bill Belichick. He hit on Brady. Okay? Ryan Mallett wasn't a big success. Matt Castle wasn't either. Neither was Brian Hoyer. Neither is, Jacoby Brissett. Garoppolo, we don't know yet. Been a pretty good draft pick, but hasn't turned into a complete stud yet. Another year here, we should be able to know where the hell he's at. He's been pretty decent. Solid. But you think about it, in the 20 years, Belichick hit on one stud in Brady, and we're still waiting on Garoppolo. And he's taken several quarterbacks over the years. All kinds of quarterbacks. He didn't stop taking quarterbacks. He didn't hit on another star. Maybe Garoppolo becomes that. Not yet, but maybe he does. It's pretty good overall. But think about that. That's 20 years of constantly going after a quarterback. And there's others I haven't mentioned. It never stopped him from doing that. And that's smart. But I just want you to know how hard it is. Because it's been 20 years and he couldn't find another one and he kept trying. It's not like the Dolphins that they never really went for. Like the 7 years they had Ryan Tannehill, they never really drafted other quarterbacks. You know?
Did you just call him Tannehill?
Yeah, I did. Tannehill, whatever. So, Marino too. We used to say that with Shula a lot. Like, hey, when Shula's going to get his replacement and stuff, and like, never did. And so by the time Shula retired, Marino retired, they didn't have the guy in place. And Jimmy took a couple guys to himself, and he couldn't hit on them. Traded for Druckenmiller, drafted John Dutton. I mean, he couldn't hit on anything. It's not easy to get that quarterback, not easy to find it. Even the greatest coach of all time, yeah, he hit on the go. But he hasn't hit on another one yet. And I don't know if Jarrett Stidham's going to be that guy, but if he isn't, it's going to be hard for him to get back to that point. But what I love about what Belichick does is he's not going to stop going after him. Now, maybe he has this whole stiffy that his system is the key, and so he could get an average guy. Maybe that's why he's doing this with Hoyer and these other guys that he has there. And he's like, you know what? My system will make the quarterback better. We'll see. But I love the fact that the Dolphins are going to take that approach that they're going after a quarterback all the time. Because that's the only way you're going to find it. But it won't be easy. None of it is easy. Most of the time, you're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot when you draft quarterbacks. There's no 50-50 when you draft a quarterback. It's probably 15. Okay? When you draft a quarterback, there's an 85% chance he will not be a star. You might get a serviceable guy. You might get a backup. You might get a mediocre starter. But I'm saying a star, man, you know what? It's not even 85. It's probably 95%. That's how hard it is to find one. But that's where I give, you know, the Panthers credit that, okay, this guy took over and immediately he went and found two options. Maybe both suck, but at least you tried. Because that's the only way you're going to find them. And that's why I tell you that what Chris Greer has done already, last year he had a second-round pick and he traded it away to make it 2 second-round picks just so he can bring in a quarterback. And it didn't cost him really much. You know, draft-wise, it didn't cost him much, a couple spots, but you end up bringing in a guy that, okay, if he's not a starter, he's a backup, you're barely paying him any money, and just over $2 million is a joke. Not bad. Now, this year, you go draft a guy. If Tua can't stay healthy, well, then you go draft another one. If Herbert's can't mature, you go draft another one. If Anthony Gordon's not good enough, you go draft another one. If Jordan Love can't make great decisions on a consistent basis, go draft another one. If Joe Burrow was a one-year wonder and really didn't come through, go draft another one. But you can't quit. And you can't get dejected about it. And you can be a little pissed about it, but as long as your team stays aggressive and going to find another quarterback, that's all that matters. Because eventually they're going to hit on one. What they won't do is you'll never hit on one if you don't constantly draft or trade for one or sign one. That I can guarantee you. Because that's how the Dolphins have been for many, many years. They didn't make enough moves for quarterbacks, and they ended up paying the price. It's, in fact, Bill Belichick has showed you that even if you have a quarterback, keep drafting quarterbacks. You don't have to trade up for one, but if you have a quarterback and you're in the draft and one falls to you that you actually like, for one reason or another, take him. That's how you're going to get somewhere. By actually drafting a real quarterback. Well, first of all, the Tua video is out, right? And they show them they're dropping back and all that good stuff. And look, I'm happy for the kid. You know, I really am. I want him to succeed because he's such a likable dude. But remember that thing that we've talked about, the likable guy. And it's hard for us to compartmentalize and look at the likable guy and say, man, we really like Tim Tebow. But there were a lot of people that loved Tim Tebow. Not that I'm comparing the two, by the way, which is really not fair. But my point is, on the nice guy thing, and we've talked about this before, that you have a hard time being honest with yourself because you root for the person, right? And Tebow was like that, and there were people that were rooting for Tebow that didn't see that he couldn't play. Well, the problem with Tua is a lot of people, right, when I talk about Tua and I talk about his injury history, people are like, well, you know, that's not fair that you're looking at him that way. Well, how else am I supposed to look at him? I mean, I can look at him because he's super accurate. Okay, so that's his track record. The dude is accurate. The dude can make quick decisions. The kid can throw people open. Love his accuracy. I've already told you, I get sexually aroused when you've got accuracy. Okay? I mean, that's the kind of football fan I am. And if I see a quarterback has accuracy, I'm already sexually aroused. I want him on my Dolphins, like right away. And so I love that part of his game. The same track record that I know he's accurate, the same track record that I know that he knows how to read and react to defenses quickly, the same track record that I see that he can throw people open. He can lead receivers. All of those traits that he has, he also has the trait that he breaks down. And that's been his MO from high school through the short-term college career that he had. That's all I can go by. And so when I see him drop back yesterday, you know, it was a get up, I think, where Dan Orlovsky's on, and he's almost having a wet dream. Do they even say wet dream? He's having an orgasm. Or do they say orgasm? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. He's basically going all nuts about the drop back. And to me, it's just a video. And I'm glad that he can drop back. I'm glad that he can throw the football. I'm glad that he's doing what he loves to do, because we all love doing something we enjoy, right? And this is his joy. And I completely understand that. But when I look at Tua, I see injuries. Just like when I saw Yetiel Green, I see injuries. When I see Jameis Winston, I see interceptions. I can't help it, right? You see, with Jameis, you know that there's interceptions coming. So you got to work with that. Whoever signs him has got to work with his discipline. You know what I'm saying? And so with Tua, that's kind of the track record. It's nice that you can drop back, but your repaired hip doesn't make you durable. Your repaired ankles don't make you durable, because you constantly break down. And here's the other thing. It's a different part of his body every time. So that kind of tells me that overall you're fragile. And look, being fragile in football is bad for him. In our world, it's not, because you and I would break down just like Tua. And maybe even worse, because the human body's not made for football. And so to me, you can show me all these videos and tell me, oh, yeah, no, he's ahead of progress. And that's nice. That doesn't mean that you're going to stay healthy. All this means is you're rehabbing to get on the field to get injured again. And I know some of you out there say, well, oh, dude, how can you be so negative that he's going to get injured? Well, that's all I can go by. I wish I can go by, well, you know, oh, he went through 2 years of not getting injured. He went through an entire season of not getting injured. Which really, I would not be that impressed of one season. I would be impressed if it was multiple seasons. But the kid can't even stay one season healthy. So what you're telling me is your body is not durable. You are not reliable. You're a reliable human being. You're a reliable professional. You're a reliable passer. But your body cannot be counted on to play every game. So if you're the Dolphins, do you trade up for a guy that is not reliable? Tell me, because that doesn't make any sense to me that you would actually trade up for a guy that's not reliable. How does that make any sense? I'd almost, you know, in a scary way, even though Herbert's got, you know, maturity issues, and I still think some of his inaccuracies can be worked on, because I think it's more of a mechanical thing that he probably is, you know, not throwing with balance and things like that at times, because he has plenty of moments where you're like, whoa, and he's really accurate. So even when he's been inaccurate, I think you can even work with his, because I don't think he's an inaccurate quarterback as it is. I think he's a guy that has some fundamental issues at times, and you can work with that. But having said all that, I'd almost rather do that with Herbert. Seriously. And I know Herbert's not a better quarterback than Tua. I know Tua's a better quarterback, but I just can't trust him. Whereas Herbert, he's built like a freaking freaking mountain. He doesn't get injured. So maybe I can work on some of those mechanical issues. Maybe I can work on his maturity. And I'd almost rather take that chance. Now, I'm not a Herbert fan. I'm not a Tua fan. Don't get me wrong here. I don't want to draft Herbert either at 5. I don't want to draft Tua at 5. All I'm saying is, gun to head, I'd almost rather deal with Herbert's issues than Tua. Because with Tua, it's only a matter of time before he ends up retired. Because he's just going to be beaten down and broken down every single time. Think about this. This guy's coming into the NFL already with a repaired hip. And you got to play football. Okay? It's not a repaired hip and you're doing radio every day and sitting on your ass for 4 hours. Okay? That's what I'm doing. Tua can do this with no problem. But now we're asking him to move up to the next level where the guys are bigger, stronger, faster, and they hit harder. Oh, and they play more games. And so now we're asking Tua to stay healthy in a longer season that is much tougher than it is in college. And he can't stay healthy in high school or in college. And he had an All-American line in college. It's really hard. That's why I'd rather go at 5 with a position player. And I know that if I get, Thomas, I know I'm going to get myself, Brown, I'm sorry, I'm going to get myself one hell of a D lineman. I know that if I get Becton or Wirfs or whoever, there's 3-4 offensive linemen, whichever ones you like, I don't care. We could go back and forth and split hairs on it. But you get any of those top linemen, I know I'm plugging in a guy for the next 10 years. Not that they would get him, but let's say you draft Okuda. Okay, so now I'm going to have 3 monster corners, and I know I'm going to have 3 monster corners now, and I'm going to cover everything in sight. Yeah, why am I going to take a chance on a guy that there's a good chance he can't stay healthy? And that I'm just going to be regretting the entire time. That I took the guy and I could have taken a plug-in player at number 5. Why? Because I'm desperate for a quarterback? I get it. I know we're all desperate for a quarterback, but you can kind of hold off. I'd rather take another project down the line in the draft. Take Jordan Love with the 18th pick if he's there. If he's not there, then you wait and you take Anthony Gordon, and you take any of the other guys down there. That's it. And then the following year, you move for another quarterback. But watching Tua work out was really nice to see him work out. I'm happy for him. But it doesn't get me excited about anything whatsoever. Because I still don't know. You know what will get me excited about Tua? I mean, watch him take like 80 hits from all kinds of linemen, and I want to see him get up. And then I'll be impressed. That'll impress me. How about the first time a defensive end comes around the corner and drills him right on that hip? Because they do that all the time. They tackle you in the middle part of your body. How's that hip going to react? 280-pound defensive end coming around the corner like a werewolf and attacking. Oh, and by the way, they know his hip is repaired. Guess what? Guess what has an X on the spot? It's an imaginary one, okay? It's not like Jerry came over and painted an X on Tom's ass and then there's a bull that's coming to hit it. No. No, it's an imaginary one. It's one that the defensive end has on his mind going, all right, I'm playing against a kid with repaired ankles and a repaired hip. I know where I'm going to hit him. Oh, you don't want me to hit him in the head? Well, I don't have a problem with contact to in the lower half of his body. How's that lower half going to react after tackle, after tackle, after tackle? You remember how Fitzpatrick played this year? Remember the hits that Ryan Fitzpatrick took this year? You ask yourself now, can Tua take those hits? Can he get up off the grass or the artificial turf after a hit, after a hit, after a hit on that lower body? Oh, and as he gets tackled, what does he normally land on? A hip. Just saying. It's nice that he's recovering. It's nice that he's dropping back. But I have no idea if he has any. No, I know he has no durability. He has to prove that he can be durable, because he's never been durable. He was just limping, right, at the combine. That's 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
What I was going to ask is, how long did he do that? Was that for 5 minutes?
It doesn't matter.
And that's, Or did he go for an hour?
Or was that the cleanest drop out of all?
Thank you. Yes.
And
right.
They filmed all right. And he had a little giddy up on a couple of other ones, and then that one was like the good one. Okay, that's the one we'll post.
You don't even see him when he gets done and walking away. You know, like, everything's cool, I'm good, right?
Listen, we've all got time on our hands, right? Just go watch quarterback hits in the NFL. I'm just telling you how many times that they're passing and then the guy's hitting you right here. I just want to know.
And that's where they want to aim, because if you hit him in the knees, you get a penalty.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, the hip, no penalty, but there's some pain.
That's the lowest target.
So you think about that. How is he going to react from all of that? Is he going to get up every single time? Those are the things you have to think about. I love the kid. I love him as a passer. I've said it all year. Okay? And I got off the bandwagon, for those of you that are new to the show, right after he injured the knee, which is right before the hip. Remember, he had another injury before he had the hip. And I said, enough's enough, bro. This guy's always injured. And then he blows out the hip. I didn't even need the hip to just say I'm done with it. These are things you have to think about. It's, I get it. Man, we all want a quarterback. Okay? Trust me. I get it. I understand it. I feel you 1,000%. But I don't want to go through a guy that can't stay healthy. That would be, to me, that would be just an absolute deflating move. That you draft a kid, and then you end up watching the kid break down and break down and break down, and he never becomes what you know he can be. That's the thing about Tua. That you look at him, and it's like, man, this guy could play in this league. He can throw.
If he could just come to the neighborhood and be all-time quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Nobody rushing.
Right.
Five Mississippi's, you got to throw.
Yeah.
And he's all-time quarterback.
Could be.